welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about what happens between now and the 2028 LCMS Youth Gathering.
I don't know about you, Mark, but lots and lots of people have asked me, have you recovered from the 2025 Youth Gathering?
It's September, Juliana.
It is.
As we record this.
It is September. And the answer is maybe.
Yeah.
The laundry's been done.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I gotten a couple of naps in the last month or so. Mark, how are you feeling?
I still could use a few more naps, I think.
I think
so. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right?
But it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah. And we appreciate that. I think we appreciate the question about like how our team is doing, mm-hmm. how our planners are recovering. And truly, we do get a little bit of downtime mm-hmm. in that time right after the gathering. But we do also start thinking about mm-hmm. the next gathering and the gathering after that.
Correct.
And how to make them better, how to improve on what we did, changes that we're going to need to make. So the planning process for the gathering takes more than 3 years, and it definitely doesn't stop once a gathering is finished.
There are a lot of conversations that happen as we're looking down the road, picking next cities or starting to engage with the next city that go into that process. So it seems like it never really ends, but certainly at a different level of intensity, for sure. I mean, the planning process, yes.
There's not quite as many imminent deadlines.
Correct.
So if you haven't already heard, we're going to be returning to San Antonio for the 2028 gathering, one of my favorite gathering cities.
Mm-hmm.
For every gathering, we look at a number of cities, especially new cities that mm-hmm. also add facilities mm-hmm. that we could use. Mark, what are some of the things we take into consideration when it comes to choosing a gathering city?
Yeah, we kind of joke that sometimes we wish we could build our perfect gathering city. Like, what's that game, Sim City? Like, you know, we could do this simulated city
that's perfect for the gathering. Middle of Iowa.
Right. Uh-huh, yeah, we just build it. It would mean we'd have facilities like a stadium that had just a number of seats for the participants who are registered, so it's cozy and connected. We wish we had a convention center with the right number of rooms at the right size for our sessions and Bible studies. We want a city with enough hotel rooms, all within one block of both facilities. It'd be perfect. But you know what? We have not found a city yet that exists like that. But we do have amazing cities that have been able to host us across the country with great hotels and great facilities. In addition, we have the participants love to know about a city's history or culture or visit some of the attractions that are around. So truly, when we do look at city to host the gathering, we consider kind of some of these aspects, that there is ample convention center space for sessions, interactive learning space, and our event offices and other things, a stadium for indoor mass events and worship, ample hotel rooms. Each city has a little different layout for their hotels. We hope to get all or at least the vast majority of these rooms within a walking distance of our facilities. However, very few cities can actually accommodate that option for the size
of our
event. Yeah, so if they can't, we look for cities that can either have light rail options or maybe can assist us with a shuttling plan. And there's other infrastructure too, like, you know, those transportation needs, just getting from the airport to the areas we need to go. Certainly security and labor as well around that the city's able to provide. And then, of course, we're very blessed with the support of our local LCMS congregations and district. And so we connect with them too to see if it's something, the gathering, something they'd like to have in their district and ways that they can support and certainly be encouraged in their connection with the gathering.
I certainly did not have any idea how many different component parts we would be mm-hmm. looking for when we look for a gathering city, and how a city might have 80% of those things.
Right.
But if one of the facilities is too far away, or is just a little bit too small, or is a little bit too big, that can really throw off our ability to be able to make a gathering be mm-hmm. good and effective, supportive for our participants. Mm-hmm. We're not asking them to do a whole lot of extra things.
Mm-hmm.
So how soon do we pick a city, Mark? And what are some of the first things that we do once we pick a city?
Yeah, so we generally plan 5 to 6 years out. Kind of maybe one gathering to two gatherings ahead of the one that we're currently working on. Sometimes we might even go further out based on the availability of cities. So New Orleans, we had signed pretty early because cities were really filling up when the economy was really strong. So
it was
we
a
jumped
secret
on it.
We
yeah,
had to keep for
exactly,
a very long time.
Yes, we had to do that because we had a hit when we had an opportunity to do that and to sign with them and get those dates locked in for 2025. We start by sending out what we call a request for proposal or an RFP. This is like a document that lists some of these items I just listed off, things that we're looking for in a city that are able to assist us. And certainly we look at our budget process too, as we're thinking about the registration rate that we're going to charge for the event and how that plays together. We'll send this out to definitely over 10 cities, maybe even 20 cities. They receive these proposals. They look at their available dates for 2031. And from there, then becomes a lot of research and prayer about the decision as they come back with dates and options for us. And they look at the best option for our participants. We probably have usually additional meetings. Some of those might be on site, might be over Zoom, just to get to know the cities a little bit more. And that's especially if they're new to our process, that we want to be able to check out, maybe those transportation pieces, just how far are these hotels, how walkable is it, those kind of things. So some of those things might be on site, or we might be connecting with our local churches to say, hey, what do you think about this? Your city hosting an event, what would be the pros and cons of doing that? And then certainly as we narrow in on a city, we'll connect with the district president and other local LCMS leadership to just to be in communication with them. And once we make the decision on the city, we start working on those key contracts, especially the facilities and the large hotels. Generally, we try to have all that done, most of the hotels, and certainly the facilities done by the gathering ahead of time. And so for 2031, hopefully the facility and contracts in many of the hotels would be done in time when we're in San Antonio in 2028.
Well, we want to hope so, right? it is really amazing how many people would just love to have a gathering in their city.
Right.
And that, when we start to throw some of those things out, they're like, oh, well, no.
Well, and then so many cities too, like summers can be really high season for travel. Right. Like they got festivals and stuff going on. So it's finding, because really we need 8 to 10 days in the facilities for move in, the event itself, and move out. Yeah. That some cities are like, we just don't have that on our calendar. And so it does start to limit the number of cities that we can find for an event without us thinking about radically maybe changing some parts of the event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing, having been a part of a couple of those processes, how many different pieces go into that. And then we pick a city, we start to do those contracts, and overlapping with kind of our evaluation process, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So right now in that post-gathering time, we're working with San Antonio, we're working on contracts, but we're also doing some immediate evaluations, and not just looking at paper evaluations. Mm-hmm. We have really a lot of different mm-hmm. levels mm-hmm. of that. And that includes things like the data from the evaluations, mm-hmm. which we love Ryan. He's been on the podcast. Mm-hmm. He does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. We get like a 40, 50. How big is that document?
Oh, yeah. I think it's 100 pages, I think, what's all said and done. Yeah. With everything. I guess that's
with everything.
Sessions
with, like,
and everything included.
And
yeah.
Sessions mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? Of every component part. And he'll break that down with our staff, and he'll break it down in our evaluation meeting we mm-hmm. have in October. Emails that you guys send, or even just information that we've picked up from social media, about, like, hey, this is the feedback that we got. That maybe gives some nuance to the mm-hmm. numbers that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. We're talking with our cities and our facilities people, kind of doing follow-ups mm-hmm. and hearing from them. We're meeting with lots of planners. And by we, I mean Mark. Mark is meeting with lots and lots of planners, and Sarah and some of us, and groups of planners and mm-hmm. cross groups of planners and mm-hmm. managers, right? To be able to, like, really get a really great view mm-hmm. of all the mm-hmm. different component parts. And then we spend a lot of time talking as a staff. Hey, what do we think about this? And what did we hear? But also, what do we think is reasonable to do next time? So we collect so much information. So that we're not just discussing, like, one snapshot, but that 360 view of the gathering that allows us to see if changes we wanted to make mm-hmm. from last cycle worked, mm-hmm. if they mm-hmm. didn't, mm-hmm. if there's something new we want to try, what we can do to improve the experience for our participants, both youth and adults, just like you do in other places, because this process, that evaluation process, is really vital for planning an ongoing improvement.
Yeah, I love, this is a longstanding history of the gathering that, the people who first started this process, 40 years ago, always had evaluation as a strong part of it, to really get feedback from the participants. Because, people who come, they're the ones who have raised the funds to attend, that we want this to be a good investment of your time and energy and dollars that go into that for how it supports your youth ministry. So we love the feedback we get. And already, I know Ryan's already told us you've gotten a great number of evaluations to come in. So thank you for responding to those reminders on the app and the emails that went out to get your youth to fill it out, and for you as adult leaders to do that as well. As we really do take these things very seriously, just like you do in your ministry too. No doubt you get feedback, whether that's through a formal evaluation process or being able to just ask a good question and listening well to members of your congregation about things that are taking place. And we really look at that as a way, as just not only wanting to improve from gathering to gathering, But we also want to learn from young people and adults who attend how we can better care for the next generation. And that means that we are just not looking into compared gatherings, but also to maybe analyze how teens might be interacting with the programming, maybe differently than the cycles before. I feel like every gathering, there's a surprise. You think we've asked good questions. You're like, wow, we missed that part.
Right. And teens change over 3 years.
Right?
We think about like, hey, I feel like the transition, we talked about it a lot in the last few weeks, that transition from, hey, I remember going to the gathering and like maybe going to a session or mm-hmm. two a day, to like sessions being really central mm-hmm. to what young mm-hmm. people are asking yeah. for.
I was visiting a church this weekend, Labor Day weekend, and talked to a young person. Like, first thing he listed about was the great part of the gathering were the sessions. And that's, again, sessions have always been pretty popular. I don't know that it was ever the highlight, though, in that way. That I mean, yeah. just that it just really appreciated the content, the speakers that were there. And so, like, that's exciting to see. And at the same time, we don't want to say, well, that's just this new trend. It's always going to be that way. Like, we want to make sure in 3 years that's the case, too. We want to plan for that. But then also ask good questions and hear from adults what they're seeing, and certainly from the youth themselves.
Yeah. And evaluations will teach us things, teens, and we'll pay attention to the culture. But we also know going to a new city is going to have limitations mm-hmm. and differences. You know, for example, New Orleans Convention Center, as everyone mm-hmm. is now suddenly remembering by their feet are aching as I say this. Uh-huh. It was gigantic. I mean, it was just mm-hmm. a completely huge facility, right? And the facility we're going to in San Antonio is going to be different. Right. And so we're going to have some limitations, or we're already thinking about maybe how sessions or Bible studies might be different. We also know the gathering is going to be over different days, right. including over the 4th right. in San Antonio. And that might impact the kind of programming or the programming mm-hmm. that we choose to do. Mm-hmm. This is nothing to do with the evaluations, but right. more about like what we're looking for and what will happen in that next city. Mark, what are other kinds of big things we might think about changing from gathering to gathering?
Yeah, I feel like kind of each gathering, we try to tackle a few areas for improvement or enhancement. And sometimes the city we go to may provide a new opportunity to try something. Or like you said, the dates. So not only are we over the 4th, it's a Monday through Friday. So
yeah,
like,
which
is different. So like, we don't have a weekend to contend with, which can both be a good struggle and can be really a good thing too sometimes in yeah. context for some parts of our programming. So what does that mean for it to be different? So it maybe gives us a new opportunity to try something different. Sometimes, new technologies allow us to enhance the program or communication process for the event that really enables us to connect with young people and to the program itself. But there might be, again, like we've talked about, there might be something new from the evaluations that can be fixed with the right amount of energy and focus or the work and creativity of our planning teams. Just like a few that I think of over the time, like changes that we've really made. One, like from an evaluation process that we really have modified, which I would say means simplified the schedule over the years. Hopefully this has allowed maybe a little bit more time for rest, believe it or not.
Right.
Start later in the morning, and then we don't do late night programming much. Like, we have the Mass Event Plus, yeah. But we used to do a lot more hotel life late into the, like up until midnight, basically, used to do that. And we've really allowed that for community group time. And then you have the choice. You can go to bed if you're tired, or you can spend more time in devotion or connection along the way.
Or we haven't done like tracks. Right. We did that once.
Right.
Maybe mm-hmm. haven't
right.
gone back to
right.
it.
And try to help that. And that, I think that's where, like, again, the app has allowed us to not have to, the tracks was kind of to help with your schedule and plan your day. Now right. that app, you can kind of do that more individual. So like right. you can find the session yeah. at the right room at the right time, thanks to the app, rather than maybe a printed guidebook that might be incorrect after some changes that have sure. happened, whatever it might be,
yeah.
Or just not as easy to use as an app. So like that's helped us, I think, to really be able to connect to the sessions better and enhance right. that program. We all know now about assigned seating at the Dome. That took a number of gatherings, continue to tweak that.
We can
that,
never take
add
it away
to
now.
It. Can't take it away now. It's been too amazing. Thanks to Megan and Tim and their work. That just was awesome. And so, like, we've got that we really tackled, especially the way we've looked at the last two gatherings and doing the way we've done it. But it took really a number of gatherings that we kind of tweaked some things and tried some things on how we can make that work. And then there's some things like even internal that maybe a participant may not know about, but definitely on our planning process, really how we've worked with our volunteer management team to focus that team on the Yavs and the Team Flex and the ambassadors, and how that works has really ways that, you know, maybe again, a participant may not see, but it's really enhanced how those volunteers have worked and have been able to be really a nervous and really really hospitality team for the gathering and connect with participants. That's been a real blessing too, to see that have fruit to the work that those teams have done over the last few gatherings.
it is a truly, like, it, hopefully people, as a part of their regular ministry, their youth ministry, are you're evaluating and you're thinking about how I'm going to change things up. But I want you to think about, like, if you only did a youth event every 3 years, how difficult it is. A little bit, like, sometimes we have to make some pretty big decisions about, hey, we're going to make this change, and we hope. I think about, hey, we made orientation required this year. And there were, I had some very sleepless nights over, I really hope this goes well because it's a big change. And I don't know if it's going to work. And it did, right? And also sometimes where we make a big change and we're like, oh, nope.
Yep.
That didn't do a thing. Right? That didn't do the
back
thing.
Back to the drawing board.
And we'll be fair, like, sometimes we see that in the evaluation. Sometimes we just know it behind the scenes that we're like, oh my.
Sometimes we don't need the evaluation to know.
To tell us that that didn't work. Right? And to be able to, like, shift. And, but also, like, our learning process is slower because each event is that's 3 years apart.
Right. That's one of the hard things. Like, to get the that input of evaluation can be a struggle that way. And so, I mean, I think there's always things we can do better. You know, I'll certainly say to participants that I think one thing we want to try to bring back into maybe more this gathering cycle is preemptive feedback and response before we get to the event a little bit more along the way. That there were a number of reasons why maybe we didn't do that in the 2025 cycle, but I think at this time to get some connection, that whether it's simple surveys or whether it's some maybe focus groups that we'll do, and that'll come off of, we want to get through this evaluation and to be able to see, because there are, I think already, like talking to Ryan a little bit, there are a couple things already that I'm, he's giving me a little bit of data to say, like, oh, I've got follow-up questions to that. Like, that's interesting. That that's the response, and we want to know more. Like, tell us why. Why did our score go up on this, or why did it go down? Like, tell us from a real narrative perspective why that might be, and that helps us to plan better. So that's some data I know we want to try to get between maybe especially like now and national of 27 that we want to get, so that helps our planning teams prepare for 2028.
Yeah. And it's really cool. You said in some of these meetings with planners that people have said, like, pointed out things that we identified in the evaluative process at 22.
Right.
In fall of 22 that we're, like, just seeing the fruit of now. And that's, you know, that's a really cool piece as well. We begin the planning process in earnest for the next gathering, so 2028, in early 2026, where we meet to choose the theme. And that is, we're going to call it an organic process. We usually bring in really great facilitators who help us do creative things that my brain does not understand. And usually gets us to a theme by looking at generational data, data from the youth and adult poll. We're hearing from young people that we'll have in the room or young leaders that we have in the room, and also through lots and lots of prayer and studying of God's word.
Yes, it is one of those things that by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we seem to always land on a great theme with a great focus on either a verse or portion of scripture or maybe a book that is just connecting well with the group that is there, as well as certainly feedback that we've received from, you know, the last gathering up to that point as well about the previous theme or maybe what works for a theme, and allows us to go deep into God's word as well as into theological the focus that we have for the gathering itself and its connection with young people. It's not I'm more of a planner, so it's always a weird meeting to sit back and participate, but
you have to let it happen. I'm not good at that.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It is one of those great things. But yeah, but certainly, say moving on from there, that this kicks off a process where then a smaller group of people dive into scripture and write the thematic paper, kind of do that collaboratively with a writer that really puts that together. And then we want to kind of start the program process with, again, with that lots of times of lots of prayer, lots of time of God's word, time in that paper, so that we're all kind of walking together on the same page when it comes to maybe those the focus of the theme piece and what scriptures we're going to be looking at to be bringing out during the program. Because we know God's word is where he promises to be and to be living and active, and we keep that as the foundation of what we do and all that gathering planning. And we spend time on how the teachings of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection will have a focus in the paper and on the ongoing theological development of the event as well. Just always through that process, we are constantly reminded that the theme and the program planning are centered on Jesus Christ. And so we just have great conversations around that, whether it's in that small group or even as it continues to spill out into like the Bible study team or the mass event team, that we have that focus put before us.
Yeah, I think I said this in a couple episodes ago when we were talking about some of our favorite things, and that was where else do you spend with this many really amazing people of faith, church workers from across, and lay leaders from across our synod in one scripture passage for like 2.5 years? Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful to see how one passage of scripture can continue to teach us and teach us and teach us through through the Holy Spirit throughout that time. And of course, the gathering would not happen without the investment of over 1,000 volunteers and our speakers and our program support. We will have our first planner application available by the end of this year.
That's our hope. That's our hope.
And we'll take we'll take applications for ambassadors, young adult volunteers, Team Flex, and session speakers in the years closer to the gathering. So you can continue to put that information up. Well, that'll be on the website. It'll be on Facebook. And we'll certainly do a podcast when we start releasing the theme, which will be at some point this year. Next year. Mark gave me a face as soon as I said that. Next year, when we get a little bit closer.
Right. So if we follow kind of our normal timelines, going back to some of those application pieces, and we have thematic papers sometime in 2026, I guess it was summer? Last gathering,
maybe summer 2026.
So hopefully
depends
around
on
that
how
time.
Complicated the Bible verses that we get.
That's true. We'll see what the author is and what they say about that.
I don't know, right? I mean, the thematic process, it's 3 days, but then it's also really like it's months and months and months of processing.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. For the rest of those things that we talked about, if we follow the normal timelines, the ambassador app will be open at the end of 2026. The YAV app in the summer of 2027, our probably squad leaders app would be before then, so probably early in 27 for the squad leaders that we would select. That's a select group of our young adult volunteers. And then speakers will be available probably in late 2026 or early 2027, we hope. But that process would really not kick in until the fall of 27 or maybe summer of 27. So that application would be open for quite a while. Those are just some of the things that we would have coming up from that timeline a little bit. But in the meantime, as we like to talk about, our staff doesn't just work on the youth gathering.
We don't.
Yes, we don't, if you didn't know
there's
that.
There's other work to be done.
There is. Believe it or not, we need to talk about that next week, apparently. No.
I joke because I have a lot of work that's not the gathering.
Yes. So we do have a lot of other things to do to support congregational youth ministry and young people themselves. One thing I'm excited to be working on is that we are blessed to receive a Lilly grant that is funding a program that we are calling Practicing Healthy Youth Ministry. Came off the gathering and had a training for about 30 facilitators who will be leading about 100 LCMS congregations through a process of listening and information gathering and training around practices of youth ministry. And we hope that first wave will then have legs to where more congregations can be involved in that. And we're open to probably too some assessments and things that'll come out of that as we kind of test the 7 practices in some different ways and just get information back from congregations. So that's one of our places that I know I'm looking forward to. How about Youth Lead, Juliana?
Yeah, so Youth Lead is great. We're getting ready to open up that registration in October for our dates in March. And then also for our very first ever Youth Lead Servant event
that
will take place in Luther Haven in Indiana in June. And so the idea there is that we'll have this event in June that will allow us to do service projects in the morning and then in the afternoon do leadership development. And it will last a couple of days longer than maybe a typical youth lead event, but will be a great new opportunity, especially for our young leaders who are a little more hands-on, who want to maybe not sit in an intense classroom all day, because youth lead can be pretty intense. So we're looking forward to both of those and some more development of some new curriculum. We're hoping that our theme for this next year is going to be around apologetics and some apologetics conversations, which I know people have been really excited and into doing that. So how about LCMS Servant events?
Yeah, so you're talking about being a paired LCMS Servant, LCMS Youth Lead events. So then we do have LCMS Servant events. I'm excited getting back engaged with LCMS Servant events again after the gathering. So looking forward to kind of bounce back off of after a youth gathering into opportunities that young people are looking to serve after maybe going on an offsite Servant event or maybe doing an onsite service project or just, again, looking at those active ways to put their faith into action. So LCMS Servant events are events that are taking place at many of our RSOs or districts or camps across the Synod. Looking again in a summer of activity in 2026. It's just great ways for congregations, people of all ages, but we obviously focus more on youth and youth being involved in that process. You really register actually with the individual events, but we kind of have a way of facilitating that, and we'll have that on our website for groups that you can look to at many of our Lutheran camps. And so it's just another great way to help young people and facilitate them time. It's not just working. It's time in Bible study, worship, other things that take place. So it's a great week of activity for young people and adults alike.
Yeah. We also have Youth eSource, which hopefully you've heard of now. It's we talk about it at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Right? It's our resource website. This is an opportunity for us. We're going to be looking forward to, over the next year, we're going to be putting out some Bible studies, hopefully tied to some of those, especially some of those sessions that young people really connected with and were interested in, so that you can carry on some of those themes from Endure. But we'll also have articles. We have conversation guides. We have other things. Games, all of that that's going to be available for there. We try and update that every couple of weeks. We'll have something new coming up for you. So certainly would encourage you to go, and you can even go right now. We have a special page both that points you to resources that are written by people you may have seen and heard at the gathering, but also a website that has resources that were tied to things that happened at the gathering. So Youth eSource has a huge amount of places, and hopefully an opportunity for you to be able to use that in your ministry. We also do presentations. Yeah. We'll go around. You might see us at district events.
Right, as I say, this is exciting time. District youth gatherings start happening again, which is great on their own cycle. So you might look for us at a booth or maybe speaking at some of those. So excited for that process. Getting, if you don't know if your district hosts one, look on their website or connect with maybe your district youth executive or others that might be doing that. So probably like as early as fall of 25, they'll start up again in different contexts. So be looking for that. So just love to get out and engage with our districts and congregations through those events as well.
And then we have social media. Mm-hmm. Meredith would yell at us if this episode comes out and she doesn't talk about following us. Not just the LCMS Youth Gathering, but also LCMS Youth Ministry on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're not in the Facebook group, you should be in the Facebook group, and all of the different ways that we communicate resources and what's going on in youth ministry, things connected to the Lilly Grant, all of that, using our social media. And then we're already getting ready we're trying to lock in the dates for National.
Absolutely. So National Lutheran Youth Workers in 2027. Again, we are close to having a save the date out, gearing in on July of 27. So that will be a great time to be in the city of San Antonio, get a little preview of not only the gathering, but the gathering city, but then also it is a standalone youth ministry conference. And so we're starting to really get excited about engaging in the process for that. That's just an event. I love it. I love getting together with our adult leaders and the people we bring in for the sessions and the plenaries and the Bible study. It's just a great time for us to get deeper into that theme and to be able to have that connection. So be looking for a save the date out, and registration for that probably wouldn't open up until summer of 2026 at the earliest is when that would be open, but we'll have the dates out much earlier than that so that you can get that on your calendar.
And so that you can mark it on your calendar so you can make sure that it's in your budget to be able to come. We find it's really, really helpful.
Yes, and I should say, I didn't say this before, is that if you may be aware of this, but we plan to do the same practice that we've done for the last few, which is that if you attend National as an adult leader, you'll then get a free or complimentary registration to the 2028 Youth Gathering because we think that's a good investment of your time to prep. And then planning on youth lead being a part of that probably too.
So having a youth lead that runs. So if you have young leaders who are coming with you, you should like to have them join that youth lead component. We had a track that did that last time, and it was really fantastic to see these young leaders interact with the adult leaders and also get a chance to be in the city so that they can be leaders for their youth groups. All right. So we know that you are going to start planning for 2028 soon as well. So please don't forget that we have posted, you can use the resources of the 100 of fun ideas for fundraising. You can start talking to your middle schoolers who will be eligible to join you and getting them excited about what the gathering in 2028 is going to bring. We don't want your youth ministry to revolve around the gathering, but we know, much like us, that it's always something that you guys are thinking about planning for, and we're excited to see you then.
And along those lines, too, that not only do we have resources and connections for that, but please, we purposely named the Facebook group for adult leaders LCNS Youth Ministry. Way it used to be, it used to have a gathering name, more of a, because it was more for like just adult leaders. But please use that as a resource too to ask questions from other practitioners or us. You'll get, we'll see it too. But if you're looking for resources or have questions about youth ministry, to make sure we just have amazing wisdom and insight within that group from adult leaders. So it's another great place to post those questions that come up and send those words of encouragement to people who are working with young people in their congregational setting.
Yeah, we love that. So a few closing questions for you to consider. First, how are you using the gathering as a jumping off point for your ongoing youth ministry?
How can you be encouraging future Team Flex and young adult volunteers and ambassadors in your congregations can consider serving for the 2028 LCMS Youth Gathering?
And what are you looking forward to for 2028? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you evaluate your own gathering experience and as you look forward with anticipation with us for the 2028 LCMS Youth Gathering.
Engold's podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youth ministry. And find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.